This is A Different Brilliant, an Aspect podcast focusing on the strengths, interests and aspirations of the autistic community. Open, authentic and engaging conversations about autism. Made for autistic people, parents and carers of children on the autism spectrum. Welcome to A Different Brilliant.
Welcome to A Different Brilliant. I am your host, Madeline Jane Lobsey. Our guest today, Dr. Sharon Zivkovic, who is an Autistic Australian social entrepreneur, systems innovator and researcher. She is the founder of Community Capacity Builders and a leading voice in capability-based approaches to social change, entrepreneurship and impact. She holds a PhD in complex systems and has advised governments, universities and organisations on building more inclusive, resilient and future-ready ecosystems. Welcome.
Hello. Lovely to be here with you.
I'm really delighted. And I should say I have done one of the programs and I tell everybody it is the best thing I've ever done. When I did the program with you, I think one of the biggest things that impacted me was when you said that we mustn't lose autistic thinking and autistic expression. And that if you don't use it, you lose it, you know, that was so impactful.
Research shows that if we don't use our autistic talents, we actually lose them over time.
I started thinking about all the incredible innovation in the world and that if autistic people stopped thinking in autistic ways or stopped using their autistic experiences and thinking, that we would lose innovation.
I've been really lucky in that I haven't conformed at all.
And so that's what's at stake today. Sharon and I are going to talk about social entrepreneurship because understanding what autistic people bring is the starting point for understanding why entrepreneurship can change lives. So let's just give people some basics for anybody that doesn't know anything about it. So social entrepreneurship is actually an outstanding alternative to traditional employment for autistic people. You know, many autistic people encounter barriers when they're in traditional jobs, and particularly in things like the recruitment process, but then also they get in to organizations and there's the sensory environments, there's all the unsaid, unwritten, unspoken workplace expectations, workplace culture. And in a fundamental way, their relationships with the people they work with. So the unemployment rate is very high, but also people staying in their jobs.
I think there's two parts of that. For me personally, I find mainstream employment quite disempowering. You're having to expect somebody else to make accommodations for you. And the research shows that often autistic people don't get the accommodations they want. They're not happy with the accommodations that they get. And that they have to continually remind people of their accommodation needs. So that's stressful in itself to actually not know. And if you've got a line manager and that line manager leaves, then you've got to go through the whole process again. So it's very disempowering, the traditional employment process, where being self-employed, you get to control your work environment. And I remember when I had my autism diagnosis and they turned around and they said, the reason you've been so successful is because you've controlled your environment. And that was really the moment where I thought, wow, I want to be able to support other people to have what I've had. I've had this life where I've been self-employed. I don't have the sensory issues in a workplace. I don't have the communication challenges in a workplace. I can manage my energy levels. I can put buffers in where I need buffers. I can manage my spoons, as we talk about spoons in the autistic community. I've just had the most amazing life. And it's because I've been able to take control of my work environment and not actually be dependent on others.
Yeah, I think that's so important. And I know some people listening might go, well, you know, that's all well and good, but my son is 17 and can't get a job at wherever. So let's talk about that part of it, which is, how do you, maybe start with how did you create work that aligns closely with who you are? Like, how did you line it up to harness your passions and your interests that could support you in your well-being and sustain you in employment?
I think I was really lucky in that I stopped attending school by the end of primary. And then I was actually officially signed out at 14. And I think I was lucky because I didn't have to try to fit into systems. And so I didn't lose my natural abilities, my natural autistic abilities from trying to be neurotypical in neurotypical environments, like in education and in workplaces. So I'm kind of like I've just had the opportunity to be authentically autistic all the way through because I haven't had to rein it in for anyone.
I don't think there's any surprise to how hard it is, okay, for you, for me, and probably anybody listening to this podcast. But, you know, you and I have also experienced the utter joy, the amazing results, the extraordinary life of being someone who has moved into self-employment. So what would you say, either from lived experience or research, are the real benefits of it?
I think the real benefits of it is, you know, thinking of it from autistic strengths, you know, we have these interest areas that we have this amazing data from, and we can use that as a starting point for our innovations. And autistic people get such absolute joy out of just delving into their areas of passion. And I think you actually have to be autistic or have ADHD to understand the joy, you know, because you get into a flow state for immersing yourself. And, you know, the stats are, you know, 26 hours a week we're in there, you know, just delving in there. So the opportunity, we know a lot about our stuff, you know, like what our interest area is, we know a lot about it. And it's really weird because, you know, when you get diagnosed for autism, it's seen as a deficit, restricted interests. But those restricted interests, we just off the charts with regards to our knowledge and our capabilities in those areas. That's instead of trying to get autistic people to move away from restricted interests, we should be encouraged to actually be able to work with those data sets, to be able to explore those data sets, to be able to see, you know, what in those data sets are parts of the problem space? What are parts of the solution space? How do we see gaps and things that haven't been addressed by society yet? And so there's just, you know, we're just in such a good space to innovate. And there's an approach to social entrepreneurship called the Social Innovation School, which is the only mainstream social entrepreneurship that focuses on innovation, it focuses on systems change, and it focuses on addressing complex problems. And that's our space.
Yeah. Yeah, so let's just step back for a minute. When you're saying data set for anybody listening, you're basically saying that just depth and breadth of knowledge that we have, you know, in any particular area. And then, you know, what's amazing is when an autistic person has that incredible depth and breadth of knowledge that they can then start to bring, okay, well, within all of this knowledge, what are the problems? What are the solutions? What are the systems within it? How do we innovate them? And it really could be about anything. You know, we say it a lot about autistic kids is, you know, follow their passions. And for me, it feels critical, you know, for their life and for the planet. So let's also talk about, you talked about social entrepreneurship and impact and social change. So, you know, I think there's a misconception about social entrepreneurship and, you know, being a social entrepreneur or having a social enterprise. So do you want to just uncollapse that and then talk about, you know, the possible even employment people could get in being able to work in social entrepreneurship?
Yeah, it's so you know, the social enterprise is really the business. Social entrepreneurship is really the approach. It's about being able to work through life in that approach of thinking in a systemic way, which is, you know, a natural trait for us, being able to work from these data sets. You know, the opportunity to get employment based on what you're passionate about and what you know about is there as well. So I'm not saying, you know, no to all employment. It's just that you've got to try to walk in there and get that employment on your own terms, not say, please give me accommodation sort of thing.
And I think that's important too. Like, you know, what we're talking about, not everyone has to start their own business, their own social enterprise. They may move into education or politics or science or many other things and still bring that social entrepreneurial thinking and systems thinking to a job, as long as we're able to really have it, like you say, on our own terms.
Yeah, just trying to always maneuver your way of working so that you can focus on your strengths and take care of your challenges in your own way.
Yeah, that's very well said. I also want to ask you about systems thinking. Can you give us a bit of a rundown about what is systems thinking and why is it so good for autistic people?
It's really weird because there's this deficit theory about autism saying that autistic people can't see the forest for the trees, so that we're so caught up in the detail that we can't see the forest, we can't see the big picture. And I found that quite amazing because I'm actually recognised on the map of the complexity scientists as the leading theorist for applied complexity in areas of social entrepreneurship. They're saying that I can't see the forest, and there I am being recognised for this work. And so I thought about it, and what it is that traditional systems thinking is you frame the system and you frame what it is you're looking on, like the big picture thing, and then you're going in from the details. And I think what autistic people do is we start with the details and the system boundary emerges from the detail. So systems thinking is more top down, this is the system, this is the connections between the parts, and complexity theory is more of, you know, looking at the dynamics of the system. And I think that's the area that we're more into, because the fact is we are really good at the grainy parts. But it doesn't mean we can't see the big picture. It's just that we start with the grainy parts. We're bottom up. That's how our thinking works.
Yeah, that's so magical, that thing you just said, because I do think that is an autistic experience, and people listening will have noticed it with either themselves or with the autistic people around them, is that we notice stuff, we see stuff, we're noticing the way things go together and the details, and then all of a sudden there's this like moment where, you know, it all comes together and we see something. And imagine a world where, rather than us going, well, here's the system and here's top down how to do it, that we actually started to allow autistic people to create, well, listen, we've been looking at life, we've been looking at that school, we've been looking at that company, and we've seen this and this and this and this and this and this and this. And do you know your system's actually this? And then being able to create from there. I mean, that's a revolution.
And I think it's so hard for autistic kids in school, because I've had the most amazing experience in my education, because as I said, I left school so early, didn't go back to high school to my late 20s. And now I've got 7 university qualifications, which is just amazing. I've been able to get through these education processes in spite of them, because they're drip feeding this knowledge, and I can't do this top down linear stuff. Know what I mean? I've got to give me the data, and then I'm seeing how it connects together. And so there is, you know, we need to have a greater focus on autistic thinking for everything, for how we're supposed to be in workplaces, for how we're supposed to learn. Because currently, as an autistic person, you're having to get through life where everything is designed for neurotypical thinking, which is completely opposite to how we do it. And we can achieve so much if we're just able to go with our traits.
What are some of the incredible things you've actually done as a social entrepreneur?
I had a series working on urban regeneration projects. And so I was involved in a lot of building capacity in communities. And it was back at the end of the 90s when there was this real focus in Australia on building the capacity of communities. And I took out this Enterprising Woman of the Year award by the business community for actually doing community work, because I was creating enterprising communities. And so I had to do a lot of public speaking, because it was a real policy area at the time. And I worked out, when I was going and speaking at all these different sectors events, that there was actually 7 different approaches to building community capacity. And when I delved into them, I realized that there was over 600 concepts, tools, and techniques in these like 7 different approaches. And so what I did is I kind of like worked out, okay, if you were a citizen and you had an interest in solving a problem, and you wanted to get from that interest to solving the problem and proving you've solved the problem, there was like a pathway you could go, like a community capacity building path. And what I did is I took those 600 concepts, tools, and techniques and mapped them to that path. And then I split it up into 20 topics and delivered it with the city of Onkaparinga for many years as a community leadership program. So, you know, and when I look at all of the innovations I've done, it's been the same thing. It's been starting this big interest area, having a lot of data, being able to make associations between it, being able to systemize it into something. And I've done that with developing a tool for tracking systems change. I've done it for creating a lab process for addressing complex problems. And I've even done it with regards to the autism programs that I'm delivering, where I've taken the thinking from all these amazing autistic autism researchers and looked at, well, how does that line up with a business development approach?
And what you've just all just heard is the absolute magic of what happens when an autistic person is allowed to freely go and follow their passions. Because we altered the city of Onkaparinga. Like, I know, I mean, 600 ways and all these things that I can't imagine a neurotypical person on earth going through all of that to create that level of change. So, yeah, I hope everyone listening is like, that's what it sounds like when someone's really set free in their thinking.
Yeah. I've had the most amazing life. I've just had the freedom to do it all. You know, it's just been totally amazing. And that's where the support should be. We should have support. So I'm just so thankful with the National Autism Strategy that they've recognised autistic self-employment and autistic entrepreneurship and social entrepreneurship. It's a really great opportunity for Australia.
Yeah, what do you hope comes out of that particular part of the National Autism Strategy?
I think I know the team who are working on that particular part of the strategy, and I keep giving them updates. Because underpinning this strategy, it's about taking a neurodiversity affirming and a strength-based approach. So my biggest fear was they were just going to plonk autistic people into mainstream business development. And so, you know, the opportunity to have some neurodiversity affirming and strength-based programs to support autistic social entrepreneurs, that's what we need. What needs to happen now is professional development of traditional business development services and disability support organisations for them to understand autistic entrepreneurship and autistic innovation. Yeah. So that we can actually align to our natural traits.
Everything that the National Autism Strategy team and everything they're going to deliver will take time. So, you know, for the people sitting here right now listening to us, what are some of the simple things they could do? What are some of the first steps for themselves or someone in their life to get them on that path of social entrepreneurship or employment? What would you encourage them to explore or do first?
I would say if they go along with traditional entrepreneurship or business development type training in that, they might find it difficult because it is top down and we're bottom up thinkers. And so the whole business planning, business model canvas, it's like the framing there, and then you're putting in the details rather than starting with, you know, it's not a bottom up process, it's a top down process. Also, it's based on prediction. I'm predicting what my sales are going to be. I'm predicting all these things where autistic people like control. And so the approach which is better suited to autistic people is called an effectual entrepreneurship approach. And so that aligns with autistic traits better. So I would say to people, Google effectual entrepreneurship. There's a whole community of effectual entrepreneurship folk. It comes from research about, you know, how the most successful entrepreneurs, how they actually really do work, and it's not business planning. And so I would say, have a look at that. That's where I would go. And also what I really like about effectual entrepreneurship, it starts with where you are and what you've got with your means. You know, we can tack into that really quite easily with our data sets of knowledge from our interest areas. You know, it's often who you are. And so it just fits really nicely for us.
Yeah, I mean, that's some of the work that I've explored, and it really does make a difference for autistic people because it is simple. You know, it's stuff actually that we're doing all the time, which is who am I? What's actually around me? What do I love? What am I good at? Who do I know? And you use those simple things and all of a sudden you start to see, oh, I could actually build something here. And I could build it right now with what I have. And that's remarkable. That's what I would advise people. You don't need to have extra skills or a grant or more money or all those things. You could actually look where you are right now and start to create something for yourself.
That's right. And what I really, and I also like another one of the principles of effectual entrepreneurship is affordable risk, you know, sort of stuff. So you're not, you're playing within your means. You're not out there thinking, I've got to earn all this money or I've got to get a loan and all the rest of it. And so, yeah, there's just so many principles in effectual entrepreneurship that fit really good for us.
Yeah, so we will make sure that people can access something, but you really can just Google it and go and find more information. You know, if you look back on all of your years of experience, is there anything you wish you knew from the start that you went, man, if only I knew that before I went and fell on my face a few times?
I think the IP, intellectual property issue for autistic entrepreneurs and autistic innovators is something that, that we really need to look at. I wish I knew about, you know, the having written agreements with people and not trusting people so much. It shouldn't be a weakness of ours, but because of the way society is that we trust people. People say things to us and we believe them. The other people would see it coming, but we don't know that we're being taken advantage of. So written agreements. If you can't afford a lawyer, once again, Google what a written agreement looks like for a co-founder or for a contractor, or get things in writing.
Yeah, and it can be resolved pretty simply and easily. You know, you can draw up simple agreements and you can get things on email and in writing. And I think that's a really smart thing to say. I think one of the greatest steps I took when I went, right, this is it, I'm going to go and be my fullest autistic self, and that includes entrepreneurship, is I started to surround myself with mentors and coaches. I started to go, who can I talk to? Who is an expert? And the autistic community is wildly generous, as are some other great humans. You can find mentors. So at least you've got that buffer, that sounding board as you go through it.
Yeah. And I'm just about to pilot. We're doing a pre-pilot right now, a program where I'm supporting disability service providers and business advisors to understand autistic thinking, which I'm really excited about. And it is going to be properly piloted as a regional strategy, because I think that's what we need. We need disability service providers, business advisors, social enterprise support organisations in the one place being able to support autistic social entrepreneurs. So it's like a seamless service of being able to see your local area coordinator and talk about your goals, and then be able to see a business advisor and just be able to walk through seamlessly this place of support.
Well, you know, it's on the way, right? So exciting times ahead. All right, well, we're going to finish this up. If there's one message you'd love autistic people to take away about autistic entrepreneurship, what would it be?
I would say it's a movement. Like, it is a global movement. There's things happening around the world that are, you know, it is something that is progressing. And I don't think I have to put a call out to autistic people, because I think they get it. But to policymakers, you know, I know it's nice to be able, and it's a lot cleaner to be able to say, so many autistic people got a job with an employer. But, and it's a lot harder to say these autistic people are on an entrepreneurial journey. But please support autistic entrepreneurship as well, because you know, our lives can be so much more enjoyable if we can control our work life.
Hear, hear. Well, Dr. Sharon Zipkovich, you are a bright, bright light. And I know for a lot of autistic people, we really look to you and are grateful to you for forging a path for us to be able to live our lives this way. So thank you so much. And thank you for being on the show.
Oh, thank you. And it's such an honour to be able to support the autistic community. Love everyone.
Thanks for listening to A Different Brilliant, an Aspect podcast focusing on the strengths, interests, and aspirations of the autistic community. If you would like to learn more, visit our website, aspect.org.au, to listen to past episodes or send us a message. Make sure to like or subscribe to A Different Brilliant on your podcast app.